Let me give you a few points on what it means to here be zealous while waiting for Jesus. Remember, we said waiting is not being idle or fearful or impatient. It has to do with expectation, preparation, and activity. In the text here in 1 Thessalonians, zeal begins with a genuine conversion. Genuine conversion. If you'll notice there in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, "You turn to God from idols." That is genuine conversion. They turn from their idols. Colossians 3:5 says today, covetousness takes on the form of idolatry. So you have to really examine your heart for what you desire. Covetousness has to do with anything you put above God. So that can be very much spiritual things. Your time, your own, you know, covetous for your own time. And I, you know, be the first person to tell you, I crave some me time. Mamas, you crave some me time, Maya? You miss Danielle a little bit already? Sorry. We do too. But the point being is that covetousness is what they gave up, which is idolatry. And that, again, had to do with their zeal. They turned to God, the Bible says. They turned to God. And so their conversion was publicly visible. Again, notice the idea of their zeal. It's publicly known. Paul said in verse 8 of chapter 1, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." When they converted, their zeal is on point. I mean, they're on fire, and they become a bright, shining example of what the church should look like. So they had quite the zeal upon their conversion. Waiting for Jesus means then serving God, as we mentioned. Verses 9 through 10, to serve the living and true God. Well, zeal has to be seen in our servitude. You know, you serve what you like. You've heard the old idea, you are what you eat. Well, I can tell. No, I'm just teasing. But I think that you need to think about the things you serve. And Romans chapter 6 is the idea. Paul talks about you're either a servant unto righteousness, verses 16 through 18, or a servant unto sin. But you'll be one or the other. The worst kind of human being is really the one that's trying to do both, serving both. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters, for you'll either hate the one and love the other. But a lot of times the person who's trying to serve God and mammon at the same time is the most miserable. That's where suicide comes from, depression, because you can't serve two masters. You need to make up your mind who you're serving here. So they gave up idols. They served the living God. And that's zeal, waiting for the Lord. Their decisions were not double-minded or unstable. And so we can know that serving the true and living God is a sign of our zeal while we're waiting for the second coming of our Lord. A third idea is our zeal is grounded clearly in the resurrection. This is the undoubtable evidence. There were 513 plus witnesses, eyewitnesses, still alive in 1 Corinthians 15, recorded. And there were more before then that had known and had experienced and witnessed the resurrected Christ Jesus. He appeared to many. By 1 Corinthians 15, some had already died, but Paul writes and says some 513 are still alive to this very day. So that's very interesting. So when Paul writes to the Thessalonians about their zeal while waiting for the Lord, again, in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, it says to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That's tangible. That's evidence. He's referring to the historical moment which happened. And so that's a crucible point. People have to wrap their mind around that. I think most people today think that Christianity is just some like Harry Potter story or something. But is it? Or is it steeped in reality and truth and history, geology, geography? Did the Roman world suffer because of Christianity? You better believe it. Daniel predicted that even the Roman Empire would collapse in time. And it does. And Christianity had a huge part in that. So our zeal, again, is grounded in the knowledge and the know that the resurrection is going to happen. Let me look at another point with you. While we're waiting, we are waiting for a person. We're waiting for the person of Jesus. We're not waiting for Joseph Smith or any other false prophet or man. We're waiting for Jesus. Again, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his son from heaven. That's steeped in reality. That's not subjectivity. So for all those that deny Christianity in general and don't obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the reality, the truth, they're denying the fact that he's going to come. And guess what? He's going to come. And it's up to us to wait zealously for that. Another idea is waiting for Jesus requires certainly watchfulness. Chapter 5, verse 1 of this book, he, again, as we mentioned a moment ago, tells them to be ready. It's not that you know the times and the seasons. Verse 2 says, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The idea of a thief here does not mean that Jesus is like a thief in character, but that his coming will be sudden and unexpected. That's a very common sense idea. Right here in the Bible is a common sense idea. Then it was known how thieves behave. How do thieves behave today? They knock on your door and say, I'm fixing to steal and rob from you. Well, if they do that, they've got a gun in your face. That is armed robbery, and that's a different offense. But a thief that's typically thieving to not get caught, you think he's announcing when he's coming? No. So again, waiting requires, though, watchfulness, paying attention, being vigilant. And so Paul talks about that throughout this book, and I could go on and give you example after example about how we need to pay attention. Christ's return, then, knowing that he is going to come, should produce holiness. We looked at chapter 3, verse 13. Ben read that for us, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. The whole purpose, and you think about time, and I really need you to think about time. How long are you going to be here? Do you know? If you live to be 80 years, you lived a long time. You lived a good life. The psalmist talks about that. There you go. But you may not live to be 80 years. I think sweet little Caitlin. Where's Caitlin? Where are you, Caitlin? Now, this is sober. Did you just lose someone in your school due to an ATV crash? How old was that person? 11 years old. Was she in your class? Was it a she or a boy? A boy. Did you know him? Do you think he thought he was going to be only here for 11 years? Nope. And none of us thought that either. So we're never guaranteed a 12th or a 13th year. I've been thinking about you a lot and that family. The point being is what should we do while we are here, knowing the Lord's going to return? It's a blessing to know that we have time to prepare ourselves. That shows the loving favor, kindness, mercy of God. Time is a blessing. What are you doing with your time? Every day? Do you wake up? And I'll stop, Chad. I know it's time to go almost. But I just love this. I want to talk for a long time. I wake up some days and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to go today. But I've always, the older I get, the more I know this. I just get up. All right, let's go do this thing. And I can tell you, by the end of the day, I've never gone, well, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just laid there all day long, and I'd have been a lot happier if I stayed in bed and never got up. No, it's like a Wednesday night. How many of you work all day Wednesdays or in school? You have children. You got to get them all ready and be here Wednesday night. And you're like, I'd just like to sit here on this couch. I ate a big pot of spaghetti, a bowl of spaghetti, and even melted some good cheese on top of it. I don't know why I did that, but it sounded good to me. I remember, we don't have any kids anymore, so I did what I wanted to do. And I'm telling you, at 6 o'clock, it hit me. You know what I wanted to do at 6 o'clock? I want to take a nap. And I looked over at Gina and I said, come on, let's go. We got to get ready. But am I sitting here whining and complaining because I'm here? No, I can't shut up. And y'all are wishing me I'd just shut up and let y'all go home. Okay. All right. Well, I'll quit then. But while we have time, God wants us to prepare ourselves for holiness. That's chapter 3, verse 13. So let me finish this lesson now. Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. And I asked the question, how can we increase our zeal while we wait? Well, remember what Jesus promised. I will come again, John 14:3. I will come again. So why don't you renew your love for Christ? 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We can love. We can truly love because he first loved us. Why don't you return to meaningful service and think about it? Take what we're talking about here and go, you know what? This is real. This is right. Let me take every day and take advantage of the good that I can do to continue preparing myself. And why don't you try to encourage others? That would show a tremendous amount of zeal. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18 in this very book, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can comfort, verse 11 of chapter 5, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Work while it is day. John 9:4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. How long did Jesus have on this earth? How many years? 33. He worked for 33 years. I've been here 53 years, almost. And I look back on the time I've wasted. And I can't afford to do that anymore. So again, what will Jesus find when he returns? Will he find us working, waiting, ready, holy? If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want you to. We want you to know that it's the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. And it'll help prepare you for the rest of eternity if you'll make that good, godly decision to turn from your sins like they did, turn from idols, repent of them because you believe, confess that he is the Son of the living God, be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, and as you arise out of that water grave of baptism, now resurrected to walk in a newness of life, you are born again spiritually to begin your life while we now wait. But that doesn't mean idleness for the Lord to return. We have that hope, and we'll never give it up. Never give it up, Jack. That's all I got. That's all I have. And I'm not talking about you, Jack, but you, Jack, too. He's a Jack, and you're a Jack. So we appreciate you being here. If you need to respond to the invitation, Chad will lead us now in an invitation song. As together we stand and we sing, why don't you go?